I've worked with a lot of people over the years who either are thinking about retiring or changing careers. And one of the common things they describe is being tired. I'm just tired of people like this. I'm tired of this aspect of the business. I'm tired of having to blank. And to me, that feeling of tired is like a dead cert that they don't love that bit of the business. Now, it's a very different thing to choose to retire to pursue other aspects of your life than to retire or change careers so that you don't have to be tired of what you're tired of anymore. And so for me, one of the things that I see as a value add, part of the benefit of falling in love with every aspect of your business is you'll make decisions from a completely different place. So it's not to get out of stuff. It's the world just looks different that you're navigating it. And we tend to put our attention on trying to get better at navigating, not realizing how much of what it looks like we're navigating comes from how much we love or don't love what's going on.
Yeah, I'm going to give an example for myself, Michael. Like, I'm 76, so I was thinking, oh, I'm going to slow things down and be kind of half retired, which I've done. And one of the things that influenced me about how much I should work and whether I should work at all is some occasional craziness and fear about, oh, I've got to support the overhead, and am I gonna, I'm gonna be under pressure to support the overhead, and I don't like that, and that was starting to weigh on me because every time I would think about doing more or doing less, even that would come to mind as kind of a drag, it would come to mind as a, a heavy feeling. Okay. Now, as soon as I really saw it clearly for what it was, I said, oh, yeah, this is, I realized that is contaminating the sample. That I couldn't think intelligently about anything as long as that fear, that fearful thinking was rearing its ugly head. So all of a sudden, I felt like I disqualified myself from being able to make any decisions about what to do with my business and how, whether to do more, whether to do less. Okay? So, in a way, it worked out, Gil, because as soon as I isolated it as this is a separate thing that's contaminating my judgment, I just stopped and did my best to address it. And basically what I asked myself is, am I going to get over this or not? Okay? If I'm not going to get over it, it's a whole different deal. And if I am getting it over, it's a whole different deal. So that's a personal experience of what Michael was saying.
Yeah, got it.
I had noise in the system, and the noise was starting to take on a voice. It actually was a, was entering the conversation. And when I realized it for what it was, I said, I don't want the noise having any voice whatsoever. The noise has nothing to do with my practice. It has nothing to do with my desire to help people, nothing to do with the principles of my conscious thought. And it was having a freaking voice. And the voice was increasing as I was entertaining those concerned thoughts. So for me personally, recognizing the fact of noise and recognizing that the noise in my mind should not have a vote really changed things for me, Gil. It turned it upside down. Now, it so happened that I was able to get my act together about the noise, but if I hadn't, I would be taking a different direction.
Right.
But it wouldn't be because of my enjoyment of my work. It would be because of something that was totally irrelevant to my work.
Got it.
You know, I wanted to put this out in the first session just as something that I think illustrates this point theoretically is, I was working with a company and the president of the company said to me, George, you gotta help me out here. The person that does all my typing and all my organizing is making noises that she wants to retire. And I would be totally at a loss if she retired. But on the other hand, I have to be respectful of my employees' welfare. So could you talk to her? I said, sure. So I talked to her. Her name was Beth. I said, well, Beth, your boss told me you were thinking of retiring. She says, yeah, the work is really getting to me. Really? I said, well, don't you mostly type? She says, yeah, I type and organize. I said, well, is it that you don't enjoy typing? Oh, I love typing. It's very relaxing, very reflective. I said, well, what about the organize? I love organizing. She said, that too. I love the fact that I can rest my mind all day long. I'm so good at it, it's kind of thoughtless. I said, well, I thought all you did was type and organize it. What is it that makes your job a bad job? She says, it's the politics. I said, oh, do you have a political position in the company? She says, no, but there's all kinds of politics, dynamics, rumors. I said, so is that what you don't like? She says, oh, that's really my job. I said, now, would you say that that was part of your job? She says, well, it's been thrust on me as part of my job. Okay, now that was a great example of the noise running the show. So all I had to do with her was talk to her about the principles, and she began to see for herself that that was extraneous to her job and nothing to do with the job. And she told me, well, she said, George, I might as well have gone to the gym at lunchtime every day, hated working out, and quit because I hated my job. That's how clearly she saw it. So this noise factor, an extraneous thought, is helpful to people to see in terms of their enjoyment of their job and what they want to do with their future and all that. I loved her example. I might as well have gone to the gym at lunchtime, hated working out, and told my boss I have to quit because I don't like my job. I know that was crazy.
Well, it's a great question because it raises an interesting question that, again, you know, with all of these things, and just to look at what you do and look at, well, what, you know, what is part of my job and what is just noise?
Noise.
Like just to even begin to look at that, not to get it right, not to nail it, but just to look in that direction and see how much of what I don't love is actually part of my job, in which case maybe I am in the wrong job.
Yes.
Like we had a George and I had a conversation about entrepreneurship, and you know, there are people who really, really, really don't like uncertainty about where the money's coming from.
Yeah.
Well, you really don't want to be an entrepreneur because that's part of the job.
Yeah.
But then you also have a lot of examples, like Beth, where what's in the way isn't anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Could you please talk a little bit about the difference between signals and noise?
Well, it's an electronic term. Annie. In electronics, they want, if you have a telephone or if you have a computer signal, they want it to be 100% what the person's intending to send. And any noise in the system, any distraction, any static, they consider noise. So they evaluate electronic equipment by how much noise is there in the system. In fact, one of the ways they do it, which is interesting, back in the day, is they would take a high fidelity, record player, and they would put a silent record on it, and any noise they heard would be the system. So I have found that in working with electronic companies, that people understand that certain experiences and stresses are noise in the system. And there's other thinking that you do where you might address something you're stressed about or address a problem that you have that you would call signal, because it's relevant to the moment and it's relevant to your life. So the noise is essentially extraneous. So if a person says this is noise in the system, it means it's extraneous. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just crazy thinking.
And for me, just to kind of piggyback on that, the reason I like the metaphor so much as it relates to the conversation around the principles is that one of the biggest things that I saw when I started to see the nature of thought is how much of what was going on with me was noise that I thought was signal. How much of my, oh, I'm crap at this, I'm no good at this, this is never going to happen, how am I going to make this work, was just the silent, the noise that I could hear in the silence of a quieter mind, as opposed to when I'm treating all of it as important. These are important questions I need to address. Well, then so much of my energy and time is being lost in noise that it's much harder for me to follow the very simple signal of our deeper intelligence, of this deeper mind. Yeah.
I was even way less developed than Michael when I first saw the principles. I honestly didn't think there was such a thing as noise. Zero. In other words, if you said to me back in 1975, is there noise in your mind? I'd say, no, there's none. Every thought I have, every experience I have, was sent down with the tablets, and it's as important as everything else. And I lived that way. There was nothing I could think of that sounded extraneous to me. If I thought of it, to me, it meant it was something I should be thinking about and entertaining. I had no notion whatsoever of noise. And even worry, like I would worry and ruminate for 2 days in a row on a problem and not see it as noise. I would see it as problem solving.
What would be an example, though, in some of the business concerns that are being raised, and what would be a signal versus noise? A valid signal. How do you know it's a valid signal?
Well, I know it's a valid signal by the feeling that accompanies it. In other words, if I'm running scared or insecure or feeling off balance, I'm very suspicious that there's noise in the system, even though I may not even know what it is. Okay. Now, if I have a feeling of well-being, peace of mind, and a thought comes to mind of something I should attend to, I trust that I should take that seriously and look into it. So that would be an example of signal.
Now, here's why for me this distinction is so fundamental and powerful. Our minds are already designed to block out noise and focus on signal. So if you think about it, if you live in a city,
yeah, it's great.
You totally miss the background noise, but if you go away for a bit and come back, it's all you can hear.
Oh, absolutely.
Or we've got in our version of it here is we have a dog next door that barks.
Yeah.
Now, after a while, I totally stop hearing it. I'm not trying to not hear it. In fact, if I try to not hear it, it's all I can hear. But my mind naturally dismisses it as unimportant. So the trick isn't to get yourself to stop thinking about stuff. It's that when you can see what's noise, your mind does it for you.
Yeah.
And that's the power of taking a fresh look at your business, at your thinking about your business, and just beginning to get a feel for yourself. And I don't know about how you feel about this, George, but I would say to me, those are the two most important questions to take into for us to look at next time. One, how do you know? The same question you asked George, how do you know the difference between signal and noise? Or how could you know if it's something you've never thought about before? Yeah. And then the second one is within your business, what's signal and what's noise?
Thank you.
And I think anything that you do in that direction is going to pay quite quick dividends.
The problem for human beings is that consciousness disguises a noise as signal. So because of consciousness, because all our thinking is brought to the senses, the noise looks like it's real. It looks like this is a noise, this is a signal. So consciousness does a great job of disguising noise with a signal disguise. Hey, Michael, I had an idea. We hadn't talked about this, but I mentioned it earlier. I would love for people as homework, in addition to reflecting on what you're just saying, to ask themselves, in terms of performance, why does my degree of love for my job help performance? I don't mean how does it help me to enjoy my life more, enjoy my job. I mean in terms of actual performing better, whether you're a tennis player, whether you're a Feldenkrais practitioner, whether you're a lawyer, whatever your job is, how does your feeling about your job actually help performance, if it does help it at all? And we'd like you to consider this to the point where you could, you know, make a case for how you think it did. Now, Michael brought up one example. Is it does affect your resilience. You know, well-being is related to resilience. So the extent that there's, you know, ebbs and flows in everybody's business, the fact that you do better with resilience, you have better emotional shock absorbers, is clearly related to how much you love what you do. What other factors come into play to make people who love their job perform better than people who aren't so crazy about their job? Is that?
Yeah, I think that's good. And so basically then we're going to take those three questions, the two questions about signal and noise and this question about the relationship between loving what you do and performance as your homework, your things to reflect on.